Well, a big hello to everyone. You know, these orange and red cords, I keep tripping on them. I think they would move them, you know. Well, we had a wonderful time last night out at Pam's. After the steak and all the trimmings, well, we fellowshiped some, and then they brought out, Pam brought out some cheesecake. And so, boy, that was good, but I didn't even want to be a pig, so I just ate two pieces. Well, Bob, I don't think I'll use the chair. I think I can manage. There's no cords up here to trip on. So. Other day I was fellowshipping and I met a tall, dark stranger. And he was from my old stomping ground. And so he was telling me how he liked the mountains. So I thought, well, maybe I'll change subjects, topics today and speak on that. A couple years ago I spoke on Climb That Mountain. And so I thought, well, I better stick to my guns here. I didn't have it with me. And so, but, you know, the mountain of God is the kingdom of God, and that's the mountain we all are climbing. So this morning, my topic is the feast, our training ground. I don't know if you watched the Olympics, but I kind of want to compare the Olympics, all the training, rigid training they go through, and compare it to the training we're going through. First, for an introduction to my introduction, I thought I would tell you about a race I was in. Of course, this was 50 years ago when I was in college, and I liked to play basketball, and I worked in the college cafeteria, and when I got done working there, I would go over to the gym and play basketball. That was pretty frequently I did that. And one day, I arrived at the gym, and there was a huge crowd of people there. I knew they didn't come there to watch me play basketball, but I asked them, "What's going on?" They said, "We're going to have a cross-country race." So I said, "What do you do to get in on this?" And he said, "Show me your ID card and sign right here." So I did. I signed and showed him my ID card, and bang, the gun went off, and we were gone. And so, you know, halfway down the race, I noticed people falling out here, and a dozen here, and on a little further, 20 here and 20 there. And as I approached the home stretch, you know, that's where you save all you got for the home stretch. Well, I noticed there was only six people ahead of me. And I remembered that the dorm I lived in, there was a guy named Eugene. He kept going every evening out and running, jogging. I thought, well, you know, why do you want to do that? If you're going to run, why don't you go play basketball or something, you get something out of. And so I thought, well, that's Eugene, the next guy ahead of me. And so we're in the home stretch. I thought, well, I'm going to pour it on now, pass up Eugene. He's been training every day. So I did. I passed Eugene up. And then others started going through the finish line. And then I heard a real loud cheer. And I thought they were cheering me on. And I looked, and Eugene passed me back up just before we crossed the finish line. So, you know, if you don't train, if you don't make preparations, well, then you're going to lose. Well, today we're living in the most critical time of human history. Today's news seems like it comes right out of Revelation or Matthew 24 or Daniel, doesn't it? Seems like that's where our news is coming from. with the bad economy and the shaky government, just how are we to cope with these events that threaten our livelihood and our religious freedom? We are in a race that takes endurance to finish the race. You know, if we're in a race, you have to finish it. So if we are to endure it all, preparation is necessary, which includes much training. Today, we are approaching that home stretch. Now, Christ is working with us, and with Him working with us, we can all make it. We can finish the race. Well, the feast is a training ground. The kingdom of God is our goal. Let's rejoice and enjoy the feast and take in all that it has to offer. Remember, I wrote this before, several weeks ago, so if I duplicate something like rejoice, well, remember, I wrote this several weeks ago. You remember the Olympic Games that we just had in August? It took a lot of training and very hard work to win that gold medal. It wasn't just a game to them. They went through rigid training. It took hard, hard work to reach their goal, the gold medal. Well, in our spiritual battles, we need to use our talents to grow in grace and knowledge. Salvation is a free gift. But we are awarded according to our works. It takes much training and hard work for us to receive our rewards. In the Olympics, if you don't do rigid training, then you won't make it. If no preparation, no training, then no gold medal. Well, this is also true of us, you know, to be rewarded by God. Well, how do we train? Well, you're doing it right now by being here, attending the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the third day of the feast. Your fellowship means a lot to others. It's still time to store up lamp oil, you know, that spiritual energy that you're going to need when you enter the home stretch. Well, here at the feast, we are in special training. All the holy days we attend are special training. We would not have the understanding of the truth that we have if it were not for the holy days and the Sabbath. You know, of course, Bible study, prayer, and fellowshipping, and visiting the sick, and all these things help us in doing the work. Helped us to grow in grace and knowledge, and be able to finish that finish line. Well, all these we need to do to reach our goal, the kingdom of God, our spiritual gold medal. Well, pray, thy kingdom come. It is our goal, and you know, if goals are not set, well, how do we expect to reach them? You know, we have to set goals. Well, during this Feast of Tabernacles, let's set a goal to receive a full reward in the kingdom of God. Well, have you considered that you could be in the kingdom of God and not receive a full reward? Well, let's look at that in 2 John in verse 8. 2 John only has one chapter, so I didn't mention a chapter. So 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Notice the verse said, do not lose those things worked for. It takes much work to enter into the kingdom of God. Do not lose those things that you have worked for. Of course, you can't earn salvation. It's a free gift, but you can earn a full reward through much work. Remember the runner. If you watch the Olympics, if you remember that runner, she had worked diligently for 4 years to go to the Olympics. And in the Olympics, she stumbled and fell during the race. In a split second, she had lost all that work that she had worked for. Well, she went back and worked 4 more years, rigid training. She made it back to the Olympics, stumbled and fell. Again, at the Olympics. That was so sad for her. She lost all that she had worked for. You know, Satan wants you to stumble and fall too. Spiritually speaking, he wants you to stumble and lose it all that you have worked for. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work on what sort it is. So we're being tested right now. We're being judged right now. So you can lose your works. We must run the race to win, or otherwise we lose our reward. Our reward is determined by our works. Okay, let's also go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. That's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and down in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Okay? They have rules to follow. We have rules to follow too, don't we? We must finish the race. Run the race to receive a full reward. Another scripture, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians down in verse 6 of chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God finishes what he starts. And you know, Christ is the one to follow. And he finishes what he starts. What about us? Therefore, brethren, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. God is a perfect coach. He coached you to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles. He will continue coaching you as long as your eyes are on him. You know, as Christ said, he could do nothing without the Father. Well, that's the same with us. We can do nothing without Christ. Let's go to John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In the Olympics, the coach always has his eyes on the athletes. You know, their performance. So he can see how to assist them better. Remember that God is a perfect coach. He can give you whatever it takes to succeed. We can have all that we need from him to win. So run the race to receive a full reward. Generally speaking, God doesn't baby us, does he? You know, neither does the Olympic coach. He doesn't baby them. They have to go through rigid training. And the coach presses them. He pushes them. He gives them some rigid training. It's very hard work. But they do it to obtain the reward, the gold medal. For us spiritually, it's the same. Well, let's go to Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Down in verse 10 it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." So, do it with your might. You know, before you're in your grave, while there's still time to save up spiritual energy, you know, lamp oil. Well, remember the home stretch. You will need all the spiritual oil that you have saved up. But remember, Christ said of himself he could do nothing. It was the Father that did it in him. The same goes for us. We can do nothing without Christ. Let's see another scripture on that. John chapter 5 and down in verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." One Olympian, during the Olympics, one of the Olympians said this, "The hardest times are the best times." Sound a little strange? The hardest times are the best times, and my coach really pressed me. Well, that is the mentality we need to have. The hardest times are when the most growth occurs. Trust God. He is our trainer and our coach, a perfect coach. What if he didn't press us? It all lies with each one of us individually. And with God helping us, with his spirit in us, you know, how could we not finish the finish line? Remember, we are being judged now. This is our training ground. The Feast of Tabernacles is part of the training that we have. And remember, we have the perfect coach. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, down in verse 17. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" We must be watching our behavior as we are being judged now. We need to watch our conduct. The world will be judged at the great white throne judgment. That occurs after the millennium. The last great day teaches us that the holy days are our training ground. Notice in Revelation, the first chapter, the very first chapter of Revelation, down in verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show who? His servants. That's us. Things which must shortly take place." I say shortly, so I mean we don't have a lot of time left. "It is shortly to take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John." So we see our country going down. and that time is short? Will the tribulation period is on the horizon? As each day passes, we have less time left for training or storing up spiritual energy for that home stretch. Yet we will have our work cut out for us. Remember your calling. You know, your calling is a tremendous blessing. Make it a sure thing. You know, I've heard it said that before you can wear a crown, we must bear a cross. It is our special training. We must persevere and not become weary, offended, or hurt. You know, that's what Satan wants. He wants you to be offended and hurt, you know. Don't get offended and play into Satan's hand. We need to regain our first love. You remember the excitement you had when you first heard the truth? Couldn't wait for one plain truth to the next, or couldn't wait for one booklet to the next, or you couldn't wait for one Sabbath to the next. You had to be there. Couldn't wait to hear some more about the truth. That was your first love. Remember the willingness to serve and the humble, teachable spirit that we had. I learned more in those first few months. You know, it's just like a baby being, he learns so much when he's, you know, just a few months old. We're babes in Christ too. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 2 and down in verse 4. It reads, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love." So let's get back to our first love. Recapture that zeal and enthusiasm, you know, that we had back then. You remember those seven messages to the seven churches? Well, they all apply to us. Don't put yourself in any one church era. As I'm a Philadelphian, or that guy, he's a Laodicean. Well, all seven of those messages, they all apply to us, each one of us. So remember your first calling, your first love. Let's look at Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. Matthew 13, down in 45 and 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Your first love caused you to want to do that. See? Your first love caused you to want to go and buy that great pearl of a great price. We are approaching that home stretch. We must give it our all in the home stretch. Do it with your might. In a race, the runner has saved up for the home stretch. Then he pours it on. Well, we're approaching that home stretch. You need all the spiritual energy to finish that race. Just as the Christian is trained to store up oil in his lamps, that's storing up spiritual energy to be able to give your all during the home stretch. You know, many sorrows will spill over into the millennium after the tribulation period. So many sorrows will, you know, spill over into the millennium following the tribulation period. And that's the more reason we need much training for this coming millennium. Our work's cut out for us. We need to cling to our first love. It's the pearl of a great price. Your training grounds include the holy days. This is one of them. The one that pictures that millennium. Training also includes things like prayer, Bible study, fasting, serving, helping the widows and the unfortunate, all those things. You know, the feast pictures the time of plenty. So go, enjoy the feast, and rejoice. Rejoice.